So the first thing I want to hit on is this idea of e-discovery. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through these areas pretty quick because we want to get over into yours, into more of the fine-grained pieces. But from a 365, Office 365 standpoint, at a base level, we've got this idea of e-discovery, and that's important because when we have these users, as they leave the org, we can leverage e-discovery to run these queries to see, you know what? What kind of content's out there? Do they have content in their personal stores that they may have been able to offload and other things that are suspect and that we may need to take action on? And so e-discovery allows us to do queries, to be able to, when we run a query, set a legal hold on that content. Maybe we want to take and run an audit to some professional, you know, that person left. We have this director of development. They had access to all of our proprietary data. Were they moving content in there that they should not have into their own stores? And we can go ahead and e-discover across all that, run an audit against that, legal hold, alert folks. And it provides really that first line of defense. You're going to say something.
Well, I have to draw a cloud because I want to.
You got to draw a cloud.
So just to kind of put it where you're at.
Yeah.
We got all this space I want to use. So let's bring this up here.
Oh,
yeah.
So
if we're here in Office 365 cloud is up here. Gotcha. And so Mike's talking about all the DLP for all the services up here.
The e-discovery.
Or e-discovery, okay.
Yes.
And so that's going to run across Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, all
correct.
That. Okay.
And if we are indexing some of the content potentially down here on-prem.
Got you.
Because all of this hinges off of what? Search. Indexing and search, right? So we predicate all that baseline stuff around e-discovery, it's all based on our search. And now with 2016, we have federated search, so we can pull in some of that content. So that's the first baseline piece. E-discovery gives us our first line of defense, and you get it with the cloud and can take advantage now in the hybrid environments with that.
So your data could be either spot, that's nice.
Either spot, right? Next up is DLP, and we're not talking old vinyl from my day and your day. We're talking about data loss protection, right?
Yeah.
And with data loss protection, we're able to do some additional things. So we want to set up rules, and what's really nice is we give you the ability to set those rules with a bunch of templates and to create your own custom ones.
Nice.
For example, talking about our person going out on leave, maybe once they're out there, they start moving things around because they're thinking of some other career changes. Or into their OneDrive, et cetera. And again, that intellectual property.
Yeah.
Or we want to make sure before that person ever left, right? We have that other director, that they're not moving, they're not at Contoso moving content into their personal OneDrive where it's being synchronized. That's intellectual property, that's sensitive data. We can set up, leveraging again that baseline indexing, we set up these rules so if they start moving stuff in there that fits certain patterns, et cetera, that the search engine picks up using entity extraction, it says, hey, yo, that is plans around our code development cycle and all this, our architectural diagrams, et cetera, for the software, flags it, kicks off a workflow. It can do things like automatically encrypt it with rights management, which we'll be talking about next.
Yeah.
Automatically encrypt it and kick off a workflow, tell people to enact, get HR or other people involved, prompt them, say, hey, you don't want to move that there. So when they leave, there's nothing proprietary that's been stored in an inappropriate area. And you know what's cool? Yeah. Contoso can do that. We do it at Microsoft.
I love it.
You love it. Todd loves it, then I love it.
And so no matter if it's a person on maternity leave, maybe it's the new people joining, they don't know maybe what they're doing yet, they don't maybe know what's as sensitive, this is going to help us automatically kind of take care of that without saying, here's a list of rules to follow and please read that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So they leave and we know the data has been safeguarded. They haven't put stuff where it does not belong.
Got it.
Okay. Right? Where they could have done some things with it. The next one is around Azure RMS, and I love this, Azure RMS. So with Azure RMS, we can do, we know that in the cloud, everything's encrypted at rest and in transit, right? So we do both.
Yep.
But we want to be able to apply file level encryption where the encryption will travel wherever that file goes. we can use something, for example, like DLP. If certain content is picked up and we've set up a DLP rule that says look for the following patterns and things within our documents, and if they match that, like, I don't know, our development documentation.
It could be customer data, like credit card information, any of the financial information.
Which is beautiful, because Contoso, I mean, I had a bank a number of years ago, customer of mine, had a file, an Excel file, that they'd left in an unsecured area. If they'd had DL, and thousands of people had had access to it and had names, Social Security, all those bad things, big SEC violation. Contoso, with this in place, DLP could pick that up, flag it, and encrypt it. And then that encryption could say, hey, you're not a part of the domain, you can't open it, you can't file print screen, you can't forward, you can't, you know, let's auto expire. All these different rules to safeguard that data based upon a content type.
And what kind of devices are we talking about? Does that work with just Windows, or what are we talking about here?
Well, why don't you take a guess? Because it's not just Windows, it's everything. So okay. We want to open that up. And so we've made steady advances with DLP, and with our rights management. On our RMS, where we can encrypt that at a file level and be able to open it up on other devices. So if you have an iPhone, an iPad, other devices,
a Mac,
going ahead and letting people access then that. And because we're using Azure as the center part, a lot of folks are familiar with RMS, Rights Management Services, from back in the day where you hosted your own security certificate, and et cetera, within your own org and stood that up. Now, since it's up in Azure, that crosses boundaries. It can cross your firewalls. So it can let you share that content with others and do things, but in a secured manner. So we can do it with DLP. We can also have, for example, if they set up in the cloud, they or even on-prem,
right?
Because we can use that same Azure RMS once we have rights to it, both on-prem and in the cloud, or and on-prem, up and down. We can do things location-based. So I can say, you know what, for everything stored in this document library, inherit the following policy and pull that in. So everything in our project that we're talking about, that we're doing around this development cycle, I could have made sure every document in it was RMS protected with certain policies, so that that director goes, no problem. All that stuff safeguarded, can't travel with them.
And when Contoso was going through this digital transformation, one of the questions they asked, which we get a lot from a lot of customers, is should we apply RMS to all of our documents that wind up, let's say, on my Windows 10 laptop here?
No.
Mike's using the
saying
finger.
That, no. Because what you want to do is you want to make collaboration as open and as free as you can with reasonable safeguards. RMS is really when we have those pointed instances, for example, highly sensitive development project where we want to safeguard that data. If Contoso was merging with another bank, another financial institution, during that merger and acquisition or divestiture period, they want to safeguard the content around it. That's the type of, or again, using DLP for certain document types in your org, that's when you want to use it. But it's not a hammer that we pick up and just bang everything with.
Okay. So the good news is we have some, well, after we go through Mike's area and the kind of the back end of the cloud.
We're going to get into your
foundation, if there's such a thing as a back end of the cloud, the foundation of really, a lot of what you're talking about is really foundational security that you really need to get in as early as possible.
Yep.
Once we get that set, then we'll talk about what do you do with Windows 10 if you did want to protect all the documents and maybe OneDrive. Okay.
Awesome.
Great.
The last thing that, again, this is kind of tangential, but you get it with the cloud.
Okay.
And again, you know, as we're setting up these hybrid environments and doing things, you're going to take advantage of this is ATP. So advanced threat protection is really, although it's not necessarily specific to our two scenarios, there is some scenarios where you think about those people taking those computers home.
Yeah. Right. And we could say, look, everyone is doing the right thing. They know every policy. They remember every policy. They get up every day. They go through their policy checklist, and everyone does that. So let's say they're all doing that. You still have people on the outside who are trying to get your data on the inside.
Yes, they are.
And whether your inside is the cloud or on-prem or just what's on your laptop.
Yeah, and you know, you're out on leave. You're out on maternity leave, right? Our VP, she's on maternity leave and she's relaxing. Maybe she's not as security conscious as she could be.
Hopefully not.
You know, right? So I know when I'm at home, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But she's got her corporate laptop, and maybe she's, you know, getting some emails from outside things and not quite paying attention like she would at work. And she does some things that maybe she,
There's a slight possibility she's not sleeping the same amount of hours.
She could be a little run down.
Possibly.
I know my second, we little sleep. So ATP is really designed to protect people from, they may be conscious of what they're doing, but sometimes malicious links and attachments and other things come. Yeah. And so we really want to safeguard our whole environment from ransomware and things. And that's where ATP has come about. And ATP is one of those new features. It allows us to actually go through, and it does a couple of things. First off, it does safe attachments, right? So when emails are getting attachments, we're going to go ahead, we're going to scan those. We have a whole detonation chamber, as it were. We're going to take a look at
new
stuff.
New technical term.
Detonation I think chamber. I saw that on an episode of something we're binge watching right now with a
guy named Kiefer. Something.
Yeah, Kiefer somebody or something or other. My wife and I. But so we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a look at those attachments. They're going to be scanned, make sure they're safe. If not, we're going to take care of that for you. Also, safe links.
Right.
We're going to look at a list of links that are malicious links, and we're going to do URL rewriting on the fly.
Nice.
So that when you get a link, it will not send you to jail. Pass go.
And what if that link is good when they send it to you and you don't even click on it yet, but then 2 days later you go, I want to go click on that link. Is there still protection, or how does that work?
It's always protected. It's sent, so we're going to do that and include that within your email. The last is URL tracing. Where's this stuff coming from?
Yeah.
So we do, we work closely with the U.S. government, and we keep a long laundry list, and we continue to develop it, track it around suspected URLs where we can automatically flag things and bump it on out. So ATP is there. So at a base, again, that baseline, if you think about what we're going to give you out of the box with 365 for that hybrid environment, eDiscovery at a baseline, data loss protection or DLP, Azure RMS to encrypt those files, which for sensitive IP like we're talking about here, very appropriate, and last but not least, ATP. But once we've done some of that, then we start to get into some of the finer grained things around identity access and other stuff.
So let's go back to the whiteboard here. We'll even draw
back to the whiteboard.
A new cloud. We're going to draw clouds today, everyone. There we go. It is a rainy day in Malvern. So back to our cloud. Mike really talked to the foundational pieces again of what's in our cloud. And so I'll just put that down as Office 365 here. And everything he just talked to is in that nice bucket that we put out there. The next thing is around identity. Mike talked to this as well. We have Active Directory in your on-prem environment, and we have Azure Active Directory up here in the cloud. And that's initially was just our extension of Active Directory, the user, the attributes, the groups. That's really what most of it was, going back many, many years when we started Office 365 and moving people to the cloud. Now it's really turned into a lot more. Azure Active Directory, the way I like to draw it for customers, is now really a security foundation. And really, if you were on-prem, you think about firewalls, you think about intrusion detection, all those good things. Well, you need that in the cloud because all your data is sitting up here. So again, Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, all those good things. You're gonna have Skype up there, OneDrive for Business, all those other pieces. So how do you stop, two things. How do you give people access to their data? And they're just letting you know there are green men out there. So that's why could be green men and women, but they're out there, I'm drawing them. There's two things. You wanna be able to let them get access to their data in the cloud, but you wanna do that securely. So you wanna do that by making sure for some customers like Contoso, very, very sensitive data, are they on a corporate device? Meaning, is it domain joined or is it managed by Contoso Financial? And if it is, that's great. Mm-hmm. The next question is it compliant with the policies that are out there? And if it is, then that's great as well. And now you're even closer to getting access to that data. And the other thing, we want to make this seamless for people. So really from their experience, they could be on an iOS device, a Windows device, and just get access to that data without having to do much. So that's the key. So those are the first two things that we could check. The other thing that we can do around conditional access is also check and manage how we access those services at a little finer level than what Mike even presented. So let's say, look, even if you're on a corporate device, if you're outside the corporate network, so say maybe on your home network, maybe we'll allow you to get to these through a web browser, but maybe we'll limit you to view only. And that's something, you could be at home or at grandma's house as you're traveling around with the baby and say, look, I didn't bring my laptop, but someone pinged me, I gotta check this document. We'll give you access, but we don't trust that machine. We don't know about it. And so maybe for you, we'll allow view-only access.
So maybe in the case of, again, going back to our Contoso org, where we talk about this executive on leave, maybe we don't let her take her corporate resource, that laptop that's domain joined and everything, but we want to give her, still she wants to monitor, do some basic things.
Yeah.
We can let her log in from these unmanaged and give her then that conditional access.
Yeah. She'll have access to email and everything she wants to, but at a limited rate.
Love it.
And so that's nice as well. And then for other people, we could say maybe some other people that are working, to get this launch started, we could really minimize it down and say, look, you're working with such sensitive information, you have to be on a corporate device. If you aren't, then we're not allowing any access at all.
Gotcha.
And then you're totally out. So bottom line is, whether it's a mobile device like an iPad or Android device or a Windows laptop, let's make sure it's just managed by either Intune or Config Manager are the two big things that we leverage in the cloud today. So that's the big piece. So the last piece, there's this whole concept of the Microsoft Security Graph. What that means, that concept is all the data that we're collecting and telemetry from either Windows devices, from ATP, all the, when someone sends someone let's say it could be a link or the attachment, we know where it came from. We have a profile on the IPs where it came from and possibly that sender address. And we look across all the mailboxes from a security perspective and looking for any vulnerabilities that could impact one of our customers. But if it's impacting one, it could impact all of them, because that's how things move in the cloud very fast. So we have all this telemetry, all this intelligence, and that's really what's living in that in the conditional access rectangle that sits under our cloud. And that's what we call, that's part of Azure AD Premium, and that's what that's really the key part with conditional access. So a few other things just around this, and then we'll move off this piece, but because this is literally a huge, huge part. So as much as you might put in the Microsoft cloud, we have third-party clouds out there, right? We have...
That's cloudy sky.
It's a very cloudy sky. It's a very rainy day. But a lot of customers, what is the number? Is it, do you have 10 cloud services? Is it 100? Even understanding how many cloud services are using or something that Azure AD Premium can help you do. So once you have an understanding of that, maybe they're using Salesforce, maybe they're using ServiceNow, maybe they're using Box, and even though you're supposed to be using this Office 365, maybe someone's using Box.
Yep.
These always happen, even in highly regulated environments. Maybe it's a small degree, but they happen. So there's a few things that we can do. With Azure AD Premium, what we can do is allow you to manage your identity from one spot. And instead of going through here and saying, let's federate out to all these different environments, we can say, no, let's do it this way. Let's use Azure AD and build out the federation from Microsoft's cloud, because first of all, it's easier, it's less work to do, because we've already built all the kind of infrastructure, either do federation or some other identity tie-in. And then what we can do is extend the capabilities in many cases, either today, it depends on the service, but that's the vision, is that this rectangle goes like this across those third-party clouds. And now we can do things like MFA. So we, doesn't matter who you are, you might even be on the right corporate device, it may not be someone from Contoso. So how do we know that? So we can enforce MFA, which in our case,
what does MFA stand
MFA
for?
MFA is multi-factor authentication. Thank you. There you go. When I'm cooking at home, give me some MFA quick.
MFA, thank you.
I don't want to confuse it with this MFA. But the key here is we want to make sure it's you. So whether that's, again, suspicious activity that Mike is here logging in from the office here, but then 2 seconds later, someone from another country on the other side of the planet, he's logging in as well, and then right. from some another place. So that type of activity we're looking for. We're also looking for, are your IDs being sold on the internet, on the dark net? All this like proactive activity that we're doing. And then at the end of the day, you usually have a phone. Can we call your phone or ask for a fingerprint on your device to confirm it's you? It's super simple and you're in. So it's one thing to say you can do that for Microsoft cloud capabilities, but we extend that capability, again, conditionally if you'd like, on your scenarios to the third party clouds. And some of them may not even have that capability. So you're really adding a whole other level of security that's in there. So that's another piece. Again, Azure AD does that for you. It's not your grandma's AD, even though AD came out when I was born. So I don't know why I'm bringing my grandmother into this.
Well, and she liked her AD.
That she did. She did. So this is the new AD for the new time. The last piece of this really is when you're using these third-party services, just like with Microsoft, you want to have some insight of what is going on inside those areas, right? So with Office 365, Mike talked through some areas that are built in Office 365,
yep.
Behavioral modeling, things like that. You know, are people downloading more data than they normally do? What also we do though is with the third-party services, we have a concept of a cloud access broker. So Microsoft made an acquisition of a company called Adalom, and we now have something called Microsoft Cloud App Security. What that does is really gives you that insight into what's going into those third-party services. And the way it works, at least at a high level, is that a lot of these third-party services that we talked about, let's say Salesforce and Box, they have APIs, and that's what the kind of purple little boxes are there. They have APIs that Cloud App Security can call into and say, what's going on? So tell me what files are there, what users are there, what activity is happening to that data, mm-hmm. and give that back to a central spot and send alerts when you see things that are suspicious. So coincidentally, yesterday, I love true stories when they're true, don't you? I called the credit card company and said, uh-huh. why are these charges on my credit card? Give my wife all the credit for finding that. And their audit system, in that case, called it out and said, yep, these are suspicious. And now they're sending me a new card. So hopefully I don't have to buy anything big today. So just like that's like the system that they have, looking for suspicious activity, we have that same type of learning in Office 365, but for third parties, we use Microsoft Cloud App Security. We're looking at malicious behavior from activity, but also location and risk-based behaviors as well. And so we'll show some examples. We just want to go through the concepts right now to get that understanding. Really what we're trying to do here, which is a really big task, is centrally manage your resources across the clouds on the internet. And that's actually a pretty broad goal mm-hmm. and something that someone would never believe. But what's interesting is we actually probably have more insight again into, and we'll kind of give you some, we'll give some examples, probably have more insight into what's going on now than you did before, which again, is counterintuitive because your data is moving to different places, but we can track it and we have access into it. So we'll walk through some of those examples. The last piece, we talked to Intune a little bit around this conditional access to whether it's Microsoft's cloud or the third party's cloud. Intune with mobile devices, so we'll use the great iPad example here. If I want to make sure that, again, this is compliant, managed correctly, there's two ways we can do it. We can enter this into management under Intune and have it fully device managed. And then the applications, let's say Office, the Office suite, all those other pieces, I can then manage those applications in additionally and protect the data from leaking between those applications or to non-corporate applications.
So going back to the example of our VP from Corp.
Exactly.
She's on maternity
Guess
leave.
Guess what she's probably
She
using.
Has access to data via this iPad, right?
Right.
She's opening up a document in Word. You gave her access, conditional access, where she could do that. She opens up this Word doc with some of those specs, and she wants to copy it and paste that into a non-managed app. We can
stop that. And she wouldn't even be able to do it. So if it's a late night and she just hits the wrong application, not a problem. Yeah, not a problem. We got it. And for the people that are trying to do it, we got them as well. So that's the beauty of it.
Or we can just...
Yeah. And the key here is Contoso made the move to Intune. some of our customers are using a third-party MDM. What we still can do is still manage the applications and still right. manage that scenario that Mike talked to about the data leakage. So they can run side by side and in parallel. So that's good news as well across across Contoso and the customer base that that is looking at a lot of this. So that kind of summarizes at a high level. The last piece is Windows 10 plays a huge part into this. We're going to touch on that as we go through these scenarios. I just want to show some examples. But what's okay. nice is Windows 10 is starting to leverage, and this was announced recently at Ignite.
Yep.
It's going to start leveraging the back-end infrastructure of ATP. So that Office infrastructure that Mike talked to will now look at files that are on your Windows 10 device, and you can then decide, do you want ATP to look at those files and leverage all that power in the cloud?
Wow.
So again, where's the attack vector coming from? It could be from anywhere. It's going to help everyone across our cloud.
And real quickly, can you talk to DLP on that device? Because again, we're in this hybrid environment, so my device here.
Yeah, so thank you. So DLP, the way I'm looking at it from kind of an end user's point of view, there's some really good news. So Mike talked about how you really can't make a mistake if you have DLP set up in the background, or it really, really gets minimized greatly about sending the wrong data maybe to the wrong person accidentally or possibly intentionally as well. So that's good, or maybe grabbing data out of the cloud it that way. Microsoft made an acquisition of a company called Secure Islands. And so one of the big things, kind of the next step, let's take a vacation to Secure Islands. The next big step in all this is, how do you classify data? Because it's one thing to use DLP rules, which is really helpful, but what if we can also classify data as internal, as external, as personal, or highly secret, whatever your taxonomy wants to be. Do that either automatically or just have defaults across the board, and either, again, make it easy for people, do it automatically, or give them the option to change things when they need to. When you do that, it lights up all kinds of scenarios. So that data could flow in many different places, and then that can enact DLP rules as well based on the classification. And we'll show some examples how to set that policy up. Just a brief example. And then guess what? That data could flow to a third-party cloud. Maybe someone drags the file into a box or Dropbox store instead of OneDrive. Guess what? Cloud app security can see that and say, look, that was an internal document. It went there, and we're flagging that. We're gonna get that out of there.
Awesome.
All right, so what we'll do. So let's switch over to some samples here as we go through. So we talked to a lot of these concepts where Microsoft, everything we're doing starts with identity. We usually talk about hybrid identity because you have your single identity that we want to use across on-prem and all these cloud services, Microsoft or third party. We talked about the devices. Apps and data are the things we're trying to protect across the board and manage. And the infrastructure is really, we're talking about this cloud infrastructure that we've already drawn out. This you can take a screenshot of. But we've actually talked about most of this content across these different areas. So Office 365 on the right, advanced threat protection, all these items. Azure Active Directory is the key piece to all of this. And again, it's not your grandmother's Azure Directory. It's the new and improved, providing much, much more. With Windows, we'll dig into that. And we've talked to, at high level, some of the Cloud App Security, Intune, and quick plug for advanced threat analytics. People still have things on-prem. Well, for a long, long time, that's where we're checking out identity breaches on-prem against your domain controller. So just a quick plug in there for that. So let's dig into, I'm glad you brought it up, Azure Information Protection. So Azure Information Protection is really RMS, DLP, and classifications brought together is the broadest view of it. So let's take a look as we walk through this. Here's just a brand new Word document that we're gonna have. And as you can see at the top left here, you'll see that the sensitivity is not set on this document. So this is kind of out of the box. You didn't do any configuration. How does it work? And in the middle, you'll see that there's these four areas that you can select. So there's sensitivities set to the default. Your content could be a personal, public, internal, confidential, secret. So here they had even more than four in that case. So what's nice about that is immediately that's in the user's view that they can set this. And again, we don't have any policies yet, so we're gonna walk through what that looks like. In this case, we're gonna actually tag something as confidential. The document gets tagged as confidential, as you see here at the bottom. And at the kind of middle top left, you see that the sensitivity got hit to confidential. Yep. That follows the document wherever it goes. The other thing is, How do we take that to a higher level, though? Let's set some policy. Let's get a little more real world with this. Things that, you know, Contoso Financial would have done. So here, we set these policies up in Azure. We go into the Azure Information Protection Portal, and we start kicking off a policy. So this one will say, you know, we'll start setting a policy around the sensitivity level for our corporation, and then I'll scroll down here a little bit. You'll see here are those five areas that we categorize, personal down to secret. And then what we can do at the bottom, you can see, I'll zoom in a little bit, is that there's a few things you could do. One is you can set what the default label is. So here we're gonna set it to internal. So now when I'm setting this policy, I'm getting a little more control and say, if you do nothing, it's considered an internal document. So now we're forcing behavior, because if you make the possible maternity, what's it called when everyone does all the work right before the baby comes? You know what I'm talking about. Mike's had kids 20 years ago, so he has, who knows in the audience? Nobody has kids. Come on, there we go.
What are you talking
Everyone's
about?
Getting everything ready. They're painting the house, they're cleaning the house.
Nesting,
thank you.
There you go.
There you go. You get lunch for free on me. So, it's, you know, if you're making that list, you don't want that to be tagged internal.
No.
But no problem. You'll tag it personal and we'll log that.
But
as
what's
well.
Beautiful about this is by default, we're saying you have to, we're by default going to secure the document unless you explicitly say it has outside. So we're operationalizing our security for that, you know, executive on maternity leave or other people.
Yeah. And for most people, what they're doing at work is creating corporate documents and working with corporate documents.
Right.
And if you're not, we give you an opt out. But we're trying to operationalize this so it's transparent for everyone. So that's the first thing we're going to do down there, is saying the default label is internal. Then we're going to say, if you want to lower the sensitivity, so again, let's say to personal or public, then you have to provide a justification. Okay, so that what that's going to mean is you'll get a pop-up. You can do it. You have to just justify it. Today, that just gets put in the event log that will be shipped back to the consoles and later, so you can, you know, run reports on that. And then finally, let's dig into what confidential means. So let's walk through that a little bit. We'll scroll over here. So when we define what confidential is, there's lots of options that we have. One is, are we going to use Azure RMS or on-prem or AD RMS? Customers still have both. And so in this case, let's say we're going to use Azure RMS that Mike talked to earlier. And we'll say that the template that we created, we'll use the confidential one. And we'll look at what that means. So it basically means you're gonna encrypt this document, at least for this scenario. The next thing that we're gonna do is then walk through some of the other things we can do to the document once it's tagged that way. So the one example here, as I scroll down a little bit, is that we could turn on a watermark. So that's what we just did here. We turned on a watermark, and then we can actually put text in and scrolled up. So we said sensitivity is now confidential. You'll see that. Mm-hmm. And then we can put the user's name at the bottom. So now it just got personal. This is your
just
name.
Got personal, baby.
This is your name on the document, and you didn't have anything to do with that.
Gotcha.
Which
Very
is
cool.
really nice. And then you could do a few other things. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to add a condition, and we're going to use one of the built-in templates, and we'll bring up credit card because we're a financial institution. And we'll say, just for the fun of it, what if there's credit card numbers, three of them in a document? We'll say that's the sensitivity level. Mm-hmm. You can set it to one, but we'll do that and leave it there. So we'll save that policy off, and then we're basically good to go. And there's lots more we could do, but we'll fill in the description and then save this off and go back to our client. So now let's see what's happened to that policy once it's out there, actually in the wild. So what happens? Let's go back to a blank document. What's the experience like now? What changed? Look at the top left. The sensitivity default is internal, just like we said. You'll see at the top there, sensitivity is internal. I just pasted a ton of text in there. Regardless what it was, it's considered internal content. Right. But I may not like that. And I may say, look, I will actually raise the level to confidential. When I did do that, that template that we just did, there we got a nice confidential. And there's lots of customization you could do, but that as a visual, immediately you know something changed, it's confidential. Yep. And then at the bottom left is the user's name for that. So now it got really personal again. So we're talking about digital transformation. There's the human side to it, where you have to take into account all the people aspects, because that's what's important at the end of the day that makes things work. So that's what we're trying to do with this, is take care of both sides. Here you'll see that now we're saying the document's encrypted, because that's part of the policy that we had. And now we're back here. Now the sensitivity is set to confidential, and we're pretty pretty secure in this environment. The next thing I'm doing, I'm just going to save that document off.
Okay.
So it's called Confidential Project. We'll talk about it later, what you can do with that. Let's then wrap this section up and talk about what about that credit card policy. I started a new document. Once again, everything's set to internal because that was the default that we had. And now I start typing in credit card numbers, all right? And and there's lots of formulas behind that, and we can cover all of them. But I just entered three. When I go to save that document now, we'll do that. You'll see now a little yellow bar across that said, this included credit card data. It's now, in this case, we said it's recommended to make it confidential. So we're taking the carrot approach. We're going to give them a carrot and say,
so it's a tip.
It's a tip. You should probably change it based on what we're seeing. And I can click that and say, okay, I'm a good citizen, and I will do that. So now, once again, now it's changed to confidential. You saw the template changed again, and we have that signature there. Very simple to do. Now, if you wanted to, you could make that automatic, okay? So we're just trying to show how you might want to introduce this. We have some customers that say, look, that's automatic. You don't even have a choice. But now, all of a sudden, we're living in a very different world. So to your point, talk about DLP. Now it's automated for the end users at right in front of them. So now if I want to downgrade that and say, let's go internal, okay, that's against the rules, initial rules, but we do allow this in the policy we set. We said, give us some justification and say, it's my personal number, okay? And so it wasn't an accident. It's just now the process is I need to give some information and background that, hey, this stuff is personal, and end users can do that. And again, just because they did that doesn't mean the story's over. It just means that you have a history of decisions that were made versus just who knows what was going on with any of these documents. So that's kind of the end of that part of saying, what are we doing around Azure Information Protection? Azure Information Protection really brings together, as you saw, rights management service. We can encrypt things based on a template or based dynamically or manually if someone wants to tag something. It brings in a DLP aspect because now we can tag things. We can look at the tags that are in there as well. And it really just changes the end user experience. The next part I want to dig into is that cloud app security. So again, let's think about third-party cloud services here and how we can get some insight into them. So we have a few examples I just want to walk through. One is if people are using the unsanctioned cloud storage. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to start with a personal example with one. It's called ForeShared, which really isn't used by corporations, but that doesn't mean someone isn't inside your network using them. And unless you've blocked it. And by the end of the day, they could walk out the door and use and accidentally or intentionally put data in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's what we see and what could happen, again, with Contozo and all these different scenarios, new people coming and people leaving. There's just so much going on. It's what could happen in an accident and totally not on purpose. So anyway, here is what the high-level console looks or the overall portal looks like. Let's dig in a little bit and start to look around apps that have been discovered in our environment. So here we have initial list. Cloud App Discovery from Microsoft is today discovering over 12,000 applications. Here's the initial list. You see Office 365, a lot of things you recognize. If we scroll down, you'll see more Facebook, a lot of consumer things. You'll see Box there. And then finally, let's go into cloud storage, and that's where ForeShared will be. And again, because ForeShared is not a corporate really storage solution. Let's bring the score down, the security score down, way up from where it was down to 4, which is not a good score. So somewhere between 1 and 4, show us what fits into that in our environment and who is using those services in the environment. So what we're able to do here is see that ForeShare is being used. And that's one thing. You can say, yeah, I know that probably shouldn't be used, but then we can start getting metrics about based on, let's say, the firewall logs and other logs that we can bring in here, say how much data is going to that service. And now we can start putting some metrics against this and measuring in a tangible way. What I like about this as well is then we can start to see where that data was coming from, what users in the environment, so we can see that. And then we can also see what IP addresses they're on. So that's great. We can grab all that from discovery that we can do with this solution. But then it gets interesting around how can we make it as tangible to people that they shouldn't be using this, and whether it's internal or working with the end user. So here we have kind of the profile of ForeShared in our environment. So let me scroll down a little bit more. And here what you'll see is all these different metrics that we keep against each cloud service in that 12,000 plus list. And the first thing I want to show is, you know, does this cloud service support SAML? If the answer is no, which it is, then we cannot set up federation to this service. So we can't enact MFA and do all the other protection that we're doing around those other cloud services that we're talking about, let's say like ServiceNow or even a Box. The other thing is, do they natively support multi-factor? No, they don't. So now we can't even use a native service and turn it on. This is starting to look really bad. Guess how it got the 4 score out of the total that you could have? 4, 1 is the worst, 4 is not good. These are the problems. Anything in red is creating the score of 4. The last thing at the bottom, when you see compliance, you see HIPAA, you'll see right. FINRA, all these different, and this is just a short list. There's more if we scroll down. Safe Harbor. I see a lot of no's. So if you see no's, and you're in the financial industry, this is a huge problem, and it shouldn't be used at all in that environment. And so now you can actually go back to people and give real practical reasoning for why we're not using it. And you didn't have to do a lot of work to get that. You didn't have to go out and build this yourself. So last few pieces around cloud app security, insider threats. So insider threats can mean a few things. In this case, essentially what we're trying to do is make sure that we understand what is happening from an activity perspective, from the files that are coming from your corporate people, whether they just joined or not. They may not even know that we have this insight. And yeah. So what's happening and who's doing it is the key piece. And across the board, again, we're using the APIs that these vendors provide out there. And so we can use Box as an example, and we're gonna look across activity and actually look into the files.
So in the case, again, going back to our VP on maternity leave, she is allowed to take her laptop with her, and they may do some access, you know, conditional, but we can start to take a look. We're monitoring for suspicious activity.
Right.
So she may be doing things like all of a sudden she's doing a mass side load off to Dropbox or some other entity, and it's like, whoa, we can flag that and act on it.
Exactly. That's the key. Those are the type of things that customers have to have. It's not even about what does Microsoft provide for their own cloud service. It's really about what about everything else? You might be perfectly secure in our cloud service. Someone's doing exactly what you said. They're dumping data into a third party, and You need to know both. You need to know everything all the time, actually. So this is how you can pull that off. And the good news is you had all these problems before. Just because your file shares or your SharePoint farm was on-prem doesn't mean this wasn't happening.
No.
It just meant that most of the data was internal, and you could see a lot of stuff internally. But people could do a lot when they walk out the door.
We hear about it all the time with customers who say, you know, we have. You know, unauthorized access to Box and other things that are non-managed. But here we're able to monitor that, and we're able to, or they may even be taking a USB stick in the old days to a file share.
And we'll
get
to that. Yeah.
Boom.
We'll get to that.
Beautiful.
So perfect. So
perfect.
Let's go through this scenario. In this one, we're looking through investigating sensitive data access. So we're looking at that option, and we're going to scroll down a little bit in this policy and say, again, we're looking in the financial area, we're looking at credit card numbers inside a document. So now we're able to do essentially DLP across third-party services because
Beautiful.
We have the APIs, we can look into those third-party services and index the content and understand are the DLP rules telling us that there's sensitive data out there. So that's the first part. The other thing that we can, now here we're listing out those documents, actually looking at what flagged that and you know what machines did it come from, all this type. Here's the scan status, all the things that you would need across the board. And then also, who else has access to that? Because a lot of the third party APIs will tell you who's it's being shared with. So that's interesting. So again, we have that built in Office 365, but what about third party?
Yep.
And how do you get it all in one spot? The last thing on here is around in this item is the activity log. So what are people adding, deleting files, at what rate, what looks suspicious. Machine learning is going to help with that, but also you can have alerts going off and even do PowerShell against this content and do your own data manipulation. So that's just a little peek into what you can do with that that Cloud Access Broker with Microsoft Cloud Access Security.
So really with that, we're providing, you know, the stuff that we have native in 365, to do a lot of things up front to secure that data, both on-prem and in the cloud, especially with Azure and doing that file level encryption. But then here, with that access, we're able to do so many more things to monitor. Again, you know, go not just the our VP that went on leave, but that director, right? Before he left, we didn't know he was going to be going to
this
competitor.
Right, that was unplanned.
Unplanned. But all of a sudden, we see this flurry of suspicious activity.
Right. And we have records of it. And we have records. We know what the files were, and there's a lot we can do. So, yeah, so very, very good. The last piece of all this now we're getting back to...
We're going to tie it up in a bow. And
we've been in the cloud the whole discussion. Mike services, cloud access, Azure AD, MFA, all those are in the cloud. What about the device in front of me, and specifically around Windows 10? This is the last mile, and this is exciting because a lot of this content just came out in the last release this summer. So the first thing we want to do is how can we protect corporate data better than we ever could before?
Okay.
We always had BitLocker.
How can we, Todd?
We could always secure the drive, isn't that? So the taxi scenario, I left my laptop in a taxi as I was running out because we're so busy getting this launch going, not a problem. But what about a few things? There's a few scenarios. What if we have corporate data that's tagged as corporate data? We know it's corporate data because where did it come from? Office 365. It came from some of those other cloud services that are out there. It came from your internal network. We can identify all of those and put it in a policy. When we do that, you'll see right here that the file ownership, in this case, we're using Microsoft example, it's tagged as a Microsoft file. That's the first thing we did. We then encrypted that file. Today, it's just for that device. So that file is only usable. It gets encrypted when it comes down automatically.
Okay.
And if it stays on that device, you can use it. That's, you know, and we'll there's some qualifications. But what if that device, what if that file moves off that device? As you'll see here, it's being moved to a USB key. So a little D drive USB key. It's a big file. It's almost done. Oh, feels good. So now it's sitting on a USB key. You can see it's still tagged with our ownership. It's still encrypted. So now if you put that into any other computer, it's not going to work. So that's a whole leakage scenario that we cover. If you say, well, there's got to be instances where I have to allow people to maybe do that because that's where they need to work, you can open up a policy and allow that. We're going to log it, and so you can track when that happened, what the file name was, and everything else associated that you need with that. So that's step one. So right there's a huge, huge piece that we've taken care of. The next piece is let's protect corporate data across a few other scenarios. One is I'm going to open this with applications, and some of the applications we approved to touch corporate data, and some didn't. Some maybe aren't appropriate. We don't know what they are. They could be third party. So here, if I do the open with, there's a new dialogue in Windows 10 that you'll see if an application can open personal or work files. In this case, Word does both, so we're going to open with Word. And it's great. We're working with the file, and there's our secret formula for success. So, you know, don't take a screenshot of that. You know, I'll get in trouble. The other thing, though, is we got the cookie recipe, and it's sitting in my personal OneDrive. Let's bring up the cookie recipe. Okay, guess what? It's in my personal OneDrive. Microsoft knows the personal OneDrive is not corporate, so it's not corporate data. So we're going to leave it. Don't take a picture of that either. But this is Grandma's recipe. Cookie recipe. She's been involved in so much we're talking about today. Now, what could happen here? I could go back to my secret formula and be doing some work, and intentionally or not, copy that data and go back to the grandma's cookie and try to paste it in. Should that data go to a personal document in a personal storage of OneDrive? The answer is no. And in this case, we're going to prompt the user and, again, let them know you can move forward, but we're going to log it. That's one option. We could block it entirely, or we could just log it and just not let people know that we're even seeing this stuff. So that's in Windows 10. It's called Windows Information Protection. Very huge. This is the final piece of the
we're at the finish line.
The triad, which we will get to at the end. Windows Defender ATP. So Mike's Advanced Threat Protection, looking at links, looking at files. We need to have that type of protection down at the client level. So what we have today with Windows Defender ATP is really a strong lockbox. So here we have a system that's fully patched, okay, from a Windows perspective. And what we're going to walk through is, hey, I'm just doing my normal job. Okay, I go to my email, I open up an email, and there was a zero-day vulnerability in Outlook for this to occur. So it had nothing to do with Windows, but Outlook had an issue and it wasn't patched yet. So what happened is they opened this attachment. On the right-hand side, you can see the attacker's machine. As I opened that attachment on the left-hand side, the attacker now is taking control of my box, okay? Because it essentially they're running commands on the right-hand side. They're now shelling out, and now they're going to bring a utility down and take control of my box. But the bottom line, and this is how almost all ransomware works.
Yep.
A lot of times there aren't virus scanning definitions available yet because these are zero-day vulnerabilities. And a lot of times it's a script running, so there isn't even, maybe it's using PowerShell, there isn't even a script to check against in that. And you have to keep PowerShell enabled a lot of times. So the goal with Windows Defender ATP, the first goal with what we're shipping is to record all this and send it back to a console so that you can see everything that's happening. So everything that we just saw here, we're gonna jump into the ATP console for Windows Defender. Here we're looking at all the high level alerts. We're gonna dig down in. It's gonna tell us the NeuralBlaze attack was detected, which was what that activity was. Again, it wasn't about one file. It was about what something was doing on the system, and we categorized that. So this is not antivirus or malware. So it gives us history of NeuralBlaze, where it is, where it comes from. At the end of the day, I say, that's great. I need to know what machine it's on. Here I can see it's on this machine that ends with the X5. And then I can start digging through all the activity and seeing everything that a process was doing. So Outlook is here. What was it doing? Because that's where it came from. I can dig in and look at the command prompt that came out. And here are all the steps that occurred when that led to that machine being taken over by a ransomware attack. And then the last piece is I can actually, the goal is that, and this was just announced at Ignite, we can take the file and put it in Windows, in the advanced threat protection in the right. cloud that we have,
yep.
and look at that even closer to see what else might be, what are vulnerabilities that might be there.
Right.
So using the same backend infrastructure. And that's really kind of an end-to-end. So now we're using those cloud services
yep.
across all the scenarios. So we covered a lot. We covered the back end from the cloud, down to devices, identity, third-party clouds.
So the point is this, really, I mean, if you think about it,
yeah.
for those cases, like at Contoso, where somebody on a planned, are gonna be exiting for a predetermined time
right.
frame, somebody unexpected leaves, or whatever the case might be, people within the org, when we have data both on-prem, in the cloud, on devices, we're able to give really that end-to-end security, both from features that you get with 365,
right.
as well as things like Intune and others, that it really is that complete end-to-end story to safeguard your data.
And the key is it covers hybrid. So your data can be in your own data center, it could be in other data centers, or in our data centers in the cloud.
Now, having said all that, I mean, we covered a lot
yeah.
at a very high level, right? It was up there. So because we had to cover so much, typically we do these in a day. If customers are out there and they have additional questions, there's a couple of things they could do.
That's right.
Number one, they can go out and use, and they can bing, baby. They can go ahead and do a Bing search and find more information from Microsoft on TechNet,
yep.
MSDN, and other sources where we're providing a lot of information around these things. Some great announcements just this week from Ignite are on the blogs for the Office site.
Right.
But if they want to actually get in to talk to people who are dealing with this every day with customers and dive deep for their own hybrid environment, how this all applies, what should they do?
Reach out to your account team and ask to work with your local MTC.
Which stands for?
Microsoft Technology Centers. And we can get into any one of these topics at any depth that you'd like. And really, every customer that we work with that's either moving to the cloud or already using third-party cloud services
right.
is looking at everything that we just talked about. It's really, what do you deploy first? What's key to secure your digital transformation? And then Mike is really good, and I'm always working on this. How do you handle the human transformation
yeah.
point? Because this new technology, it's leverage your existing skills that you have, but extend them to the cloud, and just training and getting people up to speed, all those things we got to take into account as well.
Yeah, and we really want to make sure that as you're applying it, of mm-hmm. course, we're going to give you these end-to-end tools, but the art of it is mm-hmm. that you really need to think about that in terms of your different user bases within your environment, your corporate culture, and there's a number of things where we're always weighing risk
yeah.
and reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
How we want to implement these things, to what degree, so that we can provide that optimal experience for people to get their jobs done, but secure that environment.
Exactly.
So contact your reps. Come into the MTCs. We love to talk to you.
Last thing, keep watching. There's always new, every Thursday, we have a new live event.
Yep.
And there's other
here
recorded.
Here at MTC Studios.
New and recorded events as well.
Yeah, made on demand. So with that, today, this is, well, first, do we have any questions? So
right, we're short on time.
But yeah, we went way over. So with that, today, I guess, signing off on International Coffee Day, this is Mike and
Todd.
Bidding you have a great day, take care, and as always, and stay secure.